Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Friday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. And you, we've got hoops, we have college football, we have a Husker Hall of Famer. I mean, it is so loaded. And we have a Sooner Hall of Famer. Getting you ready for the Texas State Fair Part 2 down in Jerry World. We'll set up hour one for you. Dean Blevins, the author of Sooner Magic. And we love Dean. Phenomenal. Phenomenal reporter with News 9 and the Sports Animal. Former standout for Oklahoma football. Mr. Oklahoma football. He's going to be with us in 15 minutes. Get his take on Texas, OU, the college football playoff. What the hell's up with the Sooner D? Maybe a Bookie update? Huh? So we've all wanted one of those. Brandon Vogel is 30 minutes away. And then in hour two, excited to run down Joel Makavica, Hall of Fame fullback for Nebraska football. Get his take and put a bow on 2018. We love hearing from Joel Makavica. Pride of Fairbury and NBC Sports is Bill Dolman. Gets us rolling at 525. And then security permitted, Klausburn at 540. We'll have the championship game picks. Sure to go wrong. Danny Burke is already like nodding his head and going, yep, going to clean up again. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. We'll get into some of Bill Moose's comments with 24-7 Sports. We'll hear from Tim Miles in these first 15 minutes as the Illini come to town. But the news that is kind of fluttering about is Urban Meyer and his pre-Big Ten press conference. And is he going to be coaching? What's his timeline like? Tim May, friend of the show, asked him today. There's a report out, footballscoop.com, reporting that Urban Meyer will step down after 2019. The way I interpret that is you got this game for Urban, you have the bowl season, and then you have one last hurrah in 2019, and then it's Ryan Day's show. Do we have the Urban Meyer? You couldn't get it? Okay. It pretty much just has him saying no comment with a different look. The body language, not great, but he had no comment. So Football Scoop reporting that Ryan Day isn't expected to leave. You've got openings. The NFL and college football is called Ryan Day. He held that train wreck together. Train wreck of 5 stars and 4 stars, but you know what type of mess there was with Ohio State. And Ryan Day pretty much pulled a Dabo, didn't he? I mean, let's not call him Dabo yet, but Ohio State was playing really good, consistent football. And then they got a little messy. Purdue happened, and now they have found their pace. They have found their love for football back. I think Ohio State was bored for a lot of the season, but I think their focus was different. And let's be straight, too. You may have too many cooks. You got Shiano that's a former head coach. You have Kevin Wilson that's a former head coach. You have Larry Johnson that's one of the best defensive line coaches in America that got plucked from Penn State. And then you got Ryan Day. You have the Zach Smith garbage that goes on. That can annihilate a staff. You can lose faith and trust in the guy you're spending 20 hours a day for, no pun intended, in Urban Meyer. So you had a lot going on. You had a bunch of drama. Do we have it? All right, here's Urban Meyer and the question from Tim May.
When you have a week with somebody like Wyatt Davis, who's about to make his first start on this stage,
unimportant.
That person
we'll get to in a minute.
Of your attention during the week.
I mean,
how do you handle him going into something like this?
No, they get a lot of attention and more attention from their line coach, obviously, and Kevin Wilson's knee deep in that. I'm involved, but Wyatt is a guy that you've covered us, so you heard us been talking about him for quite a while. You know, if this is a year ago, we'd have a problem. We have, you know, we're excited. He's earned playing time. We're trying to find a way without disrupting the cohesiveness of the offense line. And that's why we put him at tight end and just try to get him in the game, but he's ready to go.
There was a report out today saying that next year would be your last year. Do you care to comment on that? Is there any truth to it at all?
No comment on that.
Okay. So I'm going to interpret that. I have a minor in urban interpretation. He's out, man. And this isn't about cysts. This isn't about health. This is about his AD and him not being cool anymore. Period. And this is about kids kind of figuring out what Urban Meyer's all about, and that is him. He can tell you what you want to hear. He can make you really good. He's a really incredible football coach. But when push comes to shove, does he give a damn about the kid? And it's easy to sit here how many miles away we are from Columbus and say that. But I don't have a doubt about Scott Frost caring genuinely about a kid that plays for him or the kid's family. Because that's kind of how he was raised, not only from his own family, but in the Coach Osborne setup and system. And I think it's very telling that a Bosa, who has played through growing injuries, you don't have those muscles burst like they do against TCU without some mileage, right, on your body already that you're playing through because you want to play with your teammates. But for him to just hang it up and then depart, I think Urban Meyer just, you're a piece of meat to me, and there you go. And whatever loyalty he has is misguided with protecting Zach Smith. I think players see that and go, A, is he genuine? B, how can he let that happen? C, what would he do for me if push came to shove? So I think there's just, I think they really don't care to play for the guy as much anymore. I think they like and related to Ryan Day. I think Ryan Day's a great, he's going to have a great opportunity. It's different for Luke Fickell when he had to step in from Tressel, right? But I think Ryan Day, is he going to be as great as Urban Meyer? Can he recruit as well as Urban Meyer? I don't know. He should be able to be all right. Ohio State's been the only program to have, this was a major off-field situation, and Urban, after the report came out with text messages deleted and all that, he's damn lucky to keep his job. And the school chancellor is the one that got sent packing because Urban didn't even feel like he should have been suspended. Major game of chicken, major power play between the academic dudes, and then Gene Smith's caught in the middle, and he feels wronged by Urban. I'm all speculation here, but this is how I see it. And then the players see all that. It trickles down. Their focus off. They're kind of bored because they're supposed to be the next greatest thing. It's a leadership mess. The one guy that has shown some leadership is Ryan Day when he got thrust into a tough spot. And I don't think Gene Smith's a bad dude either. I think he trusted Urban to just let things be. And Urban was just doing all sorts of dirt. There are some skeletons that I'm sure that Gene Smith knows about, and there is a price of doing business in college football. But when push comes to shove, does Urban really give a damn about his kids? And the kids like playing for him. That's why I think he's getting out. I think the run is over. It didn't stress. It didn't assist. He's losing his grip on power. And he inherited an insanely stacked team. And he's always inherited insanely stacked teams. He has. He's coached them up. They've won. They've been great. But it didn't go into Northwestern and go into a Rose Bowl. It didn't even come into Nebraska. Devaney-wise. I mean, Devaney came to nothing. Gary Barnett went to nothing. Bill Snyder went to nothing. Steve Spurrier went to NCAA jail at Florida. I mean, you guys went to some really tough, tough, dark programs and made them great. He's walked into a lot. He has walked into a lot his whole life. So if Urban Meyer's out of college football, good. The only thing that's going to suck is that Nebraska's not there to knock him out. Or that Scott Frost isn't going to be able to have his Saban moment where you take the power away, if that makes sense. Now, Marty McGee, you hear him during the offseason on ESPN Radio. Marty Smith sat down with Urban, and there was some high praise and compliments about the direction of the Nebraska program and how good Coach Frost is. So there's a lot of respect by Urban towards Frost and where Nebraska's at. That's cool. But, I mean, he got out barely alive. So there's your Ohio State Urban update. We'll get some thoughts from Bill Dolman, Brandon Vogel, coming up here on the Big Ten Championship. Do you think I'm off? Do you think I'm wrong? I think kids can sense if a guy's full of crap or not. And it just depends if you're going to put up with it or not. I don't think Saban's all that cozy to his kids either, but he'll get you to the league, and you can put up with him for 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's even more of a reason you would assume Urban's going to leave, because like you mentioned, he's gotten a lot of things handed to him with all the allegations going on, all the speculations. It's almost going to be, they're not going to have to completely start over, but they're definitely not going to have as high of a recruiting class as if all these allegations didn't arise. So he would have to kind of rebuild it, go out, even sell himself harder and explain to these kids why you can trust me, which might have been even a hard sell in the first place, and then the allegations aren't helping at all. So he's like, I don't want to deal with that crap. Let me get out of here.
Here's the thing. I mean, there's going to be health questions, and he's going to get pounded on the recruiting trail about it. The other side of it, too, is, I mean, he's always had pretty good guys, and it's not the same anymore. I mean, his two aces in recruiting, Tom Herman and Zach Smith, are gone. And Ohio State's not been as good or as dominant or as deep. And they've been great. But they are a far cry from 2014 when they had both those guys on staff. Now you got Wilson and Schiano. How soon till they take a different job or go somewhere else? What's Ryan Day got? I think Ryan Day's got some really good resume material. First three games, held that together. That's as good as Ohio State's looked since the Michigan game. And you're going to get up for Michigan because you hate them. So, Brohm stays. Urban might be done. One more rodeo as they visit Lincoln next year, which is pretty cool. Nebraska's all over at recruiting. Let's go there real quick. We'll try and get some time in with Tim Miles and Bill Moose's comments. But Nebraska going to host a few visitors this weekend. And staff making their way back to Lincoln today. And you look at where Nebraska's at, they are all over their top priority. I mean, Ty Robinson's the guy, the defensive end. And you heard Parker Gabriel say that it's been arranged, so Nebraska will have the last at bat, the last in home. That's pretty good. Another guy that is on the radar here is Turner Cochran, four-star tackle. He's in Lawrence, Kansas. Him and Greg Austin, him being Scott Frost, and Greg Austin in Lawrence to check him out. Cochran, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, all over. Nebraska needs a tackle. If you're doing a little math here, it may feel like the JUCO kid that was going to be on the inside may not be able to make grades. So we'll see where that's at. If they can get Turner locked in and interested here, that's pretty awesome. Cochran's pretty impressive. He's been a regular on Lincoln campus. He's visited for multiple games. That's a good thing. That's nice for Nebraska. Derek Mills is a Garden City running back who is playing in the national championship game for JUCOs. Not long ago, you had Cam Newton and Levante David teeing off on each other in that game. That works out well. So Nebraska Fluid, get it to Greg Smith, HaleVarsity.com for your recruiting updates and info. We're already through segment one. This is crazy. It turned into the Urban Meyer show for 15 minutes, but I thought we kind of needed to start there because that affects. I mean, D'Antonio's in his 60s. How long is he going to hang around? He's one bad season away from them taking him out to go for a car ride and never coming home.
Taking him to the farm?
Yeah, we're going to take him to the farm. Harbaugh may get sick of being second-guessed, but he wants to beat Ohio State while he's there. The East, I mean, James Franklin, I mean, he's 9-3. Is he going to bounce back or is he going to slide a bit? We just talked yesterday about the West and how things look good. Things are up in the West.
Let me ask you this really quick, though. What are you putting the odds at that Urban returns to the NFL or gets a head coaching gig in the NFL? Packers, Browns, thoughts?
I think he'll look at the NFL. And if he takes an NFL job, we know that 2.0 version of Urban's health scare is complete BS. He may want to just chill, but he isn't that type of guy. I don't know that he can be hands off. He's a control freak, and it's a different type of treatment you need to give NFL kids.
And now
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Well, college football playoff rankings, the final rankings will be unveiled Sunday night, conference championship weekend. And let's head down to Big D and a tremendous journalist and reporter. Dean Blevins covers Oklahoma football, has for years. News 9 and the Sports Animal at Dean Blevins on Twitter. Dean, I know you're making your way down, sir. Thanks for giving us a few minutes. How are you?
Doing well, Chris. It's great to talk to you and Danny. And I'm located. I'm down here in Arlington, not far from Jerry World, and ready to go.
What are you thinking about tomorrow and where Oklahoma's at? The big question, and maybe you can explain it to me and some of my listeners, what's your theory as to why the defense has struggled? They have players, they have athletes, and I know the Big 12's high octane, but that's the biggest question mark about the Sooners. You've probably been asked 150 times, but why do you think it's so up and down defensively?
Well, I mean, you have to ask it because in total honesty, of all the teams that I've been a part of or started watching back in, say, 64, and I don't remember every player of every team, but I'm pretty much up on them. This one ranks near the very bottom of that group, which is just almost hard to understand how Kyler Murray and those guys on the offense have carried the load so much that they're in this position. I just kind of have to get that out of the way. You know, when you evaluate them, Chris, the simplest thing to do is there's players and there's coaches. I don't think the coaches have done the job they should have. The Big 12 has been difficult to recruit into defensively, not offensively, defensively. The SEC schools are killing Oklahoma, but they're getting better because Lincoln Riley overall is getting better. Now, I remember when I went on with you when Lincoln got the job, and I told you, I said, OU's going to go to another level here, and you watch his recruiting, and that's happened. But on the defensive side, it hasn't. And so I think they haven't coached him as well, and they don't have the players that you're referring to because you remember players that have played there before. But they do have players that can play better than they do. It's been stunning that they have not been any more aggressive than they have. Mike Stoops was a guy they didn't care for very much, and he had a rough personality with them, that style of coaching, and it hurt them in recruiting too. So they bring in just the opposite in Ruffin McNeil, an old guy about my age, who is just the opposite of Mike. So I think they went from one extreme to the other, and it hasn't been much of a change from when Mike was fired. That's a long-winded answer, but that's a complete one.
Well, and I wanted to ask you about Mike Stoops, and I know Mike was the heartbeat, and I think of the Roy Williams, Rocky Kalmus squads, and this goes back almost 17, 18 years, but how insanely talented OU's D was with Heupel, and your offense was really good when you won the national championship. But Stoops then left for Arizona. didn't work out there, comes back. Has it been an ongoing elephant in the room with Stoops and the recruiting and his style? And finally, it just, you've hit a breaking point the last couple of years. Not that you don't have size and talent and speed, but just kind of a disconnect?
Well, I think an elephant in the room is really a good way to put it. Now, you got to remember, Lincoln was handed the Cadillac by Bob.
Yep.
I mean, Lincoln was fabulous last year, but I have trouble believing that Bob Stoops wouldn't have done the same thing. And so Bob walked away from what was, you know, even adding to his legacy. Lincoln's fantastic, don't get me wrong, and I think more of him now than I did a year ago. He could have multiple NFL jobs right now. Yeah, I think that the Mike effect, as you described it, is pretty accurate. When you can't bring in just a few elite players, and the five stars they've gotten in down at Oklahoma, defensively, even more so, the guys they've gotten in, Chris, Danny, the guys they have here haven't performed. Mm. I mean, they played to two-star levels, you know, and then you have some three stars who played better than them. They should have. But it's all going to be fine if Oklahoma can get out of this game and get set to play. I don't even want to say the word Alabama. I don't want to say it. But get ready for that, because you know what's going to happen. Lincoln's going to go out and hire a defensive coordinator. I have no doubt it'll be a young, aggressive guy that's kind of like him on offense. And that guy will try to finish off the recruiting season that they're having, maybe bring a few players with him as recruits, and bring pretty much a whole new defensive staff. So it's going to begin changing after the game tomorrow.
Dean Blevins with us. News 9 Sports Animal covers Oklahoma football, has for years, award-winning. Can follow him on Twitter at Dean Blevins. What's your gut tell you about the game tomorrow? Kyler Murray's so much fun to watch. I mean, we watch a ton of Big 12 here just to watch. I mean, it's what we call it. We're watching Madden because of the scores, the big plays, and the excitement.
Yeah, he's been something else. I mean, I was just a huge Baker Mayfield fan, and I still am, even in the NFL. I mean, I think he's doing extremely well.
Yeah,
and is going to get better. But I'm telling you what, I mean, I thought Baker put stats away. I never thought anyone would be better than Sam Bradford, frankly.
Yeah.
And then comes along Baker. And then now Kyler's a better college quarterback than Baker. That's kind of blasphemous, but he is, and it's because of those little short legs of his that move really quickly and real fast, but he can do the other things too. His presence in the pocket is unbelievable. Their offensive line is terrific. He's got good receivers, but so he can really throw it. But as a runner, as a scrambler, as a go-to guy when you need something to happen, he's been sensational. Any other year, he'd win the Heisman.
No, and he is that good, and he's been that accurate, and he's been so efficient. And Nebraska's got an incredible freshman up here, Adrian Martinez. He is something else, and it's felt like he's had to score – every time Nebraska's had the ball, as their defense has gotten better. Well, you guys have literally had to score every time you've had the ball.
Well, that's right. And you also ask about the game tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be very difficult for Oklahoma. I think that this defense, there's no reason to think they're going to play any better than they've been playing down the stretch. They did get a couple of huge turnovers at Morgantown to help them win that game. But they're not. They don't jar the ball loose. They drop potential interceptions. Chris, they don't have, I want to say, 9 interceptions on the year, something like that. It's horrible. So I think they're going to need to turn it over. Oklahoma gave away 3 or 4 turnovers against Texas in the first meeting, and the Horns jumped on them early because Kyler's interception or two got them down to the 1 and the 24-yard line. So that set them up and gave them some headway. I think if Oklahoma can get the kickoff, or even if they have the second possession, if they can go score early, it'll set the tone for a different game. But they are a quarterback run team. And, you know, when I say quarterback lead, you know, he's got a blocker in front of him. And there's also there's an unblocked offensive player. Or you have one more guy blocking for you, and so you have the numbers anyway. And he just ate Oklahoma up, and it's sloppy tackling. I think the Sooners will tackle better and hopefully scheme a little bit better. But I think it's a tough matchup with the quarterback run game, those two tall receivers. But I have trouble believing at the end of the day that Kyler Murray is not going to score more points than Texas.
I think you're right. Two names that Nebraska fans remember. Bucky Radley-Hiles, loved getting a chance to talk with him and interview him. How has his season gone? I know I saw him on the field a lot. Bob Diaco, people still stop and have a certain look on their face with Bob Diaco when he was in Lincoln. How have both of those folks transitioned to Soonerland?
Well, Bob Diaco has really been shielded because he came in as an analyst, and those guys get no publicity, so there's really nothing there. He's gotten into that role as outside linebacker coach, and they made a change and put a different guy in there, Caleb Kelly, who scored a touchdown on defense the other day. So a couple of things he's done have helped. You know, his chances of being retained, I don't know. I'm very well aware of how he handled things, both at, what was it, Connecticut, and then there at Nebraska. And anytime I ask the people that are really high up the food chain on that, they defer to another topic. And I hate to say that, but that's kind of the same place Bucky is right now. He came in from day one, a five-star recruit with this incredible personality, and was a starter immediately, and he started and played extensively for Oklahoma since. But he's really about a 5'8 and three-quarter type defensive back, and they're having trouble finding him a spot in the secondary. Now they finally have him at nickelback, which is the only position he can play. But he gave up three touchdowns the other night. His tackling has been – and he's a great kid. This is not – I'm not stretching anything. I don't like having to say this. But his tackling has been inferior, and his pass coverage, frankly, been a little bit worse than that. So I expect him to improve a lot, but it's been a hugely disappointing season, frankly.
All right. Dean Blevins, News 9, Sports Animal. He is down near Jerry World getting ready. He'll be there for Oklahoma, Texas. For old time's sake, Dean, let's get Nebraska and Oklahoma at Arrowhead. I mean, I know Nebraska and OU are playing in the regular season, but let's do some sort of interconference conference title game.
If we can't get you back in the conference, then let's go for that. I got to tell you, I watch everything I can from Nebraska, and I don't know why I have just such an affinity. And people down in Oklahoma do. I tell you that all the time. Mm-hmm. But there is so much Nebraska love around the OU fans, at least, and my respect and appreciation. And I was so impressed and so happy to see them turn that thing around from it looked like it was just heading into a horrible place, and now the hope just has to reign supreme. So keep it up, and we'll get those two together.
Last thought, 30 seconds, Dean. Bill Snyder, does he step down? Has that been announced? What are you hearing?
I'm hearing that he's disappointed. His son's not getting the job, and he thinks he can win and turn it around. But I'm at the same time hearing that the push is from the money people to make the move and make the move now. I don't know that as good a swimmer as he might be going upstream, that he might not be enough of a Greg Louganis. No, Louganis was a diver. He might not be a good enough swimmer to avoid this one ending.
Well, I got you. Enjoy your weekend, Dean. You're the best. Thanks for a few minutes today.
You bet, bud. Take care.
You too. There he is. We need that Oklahoma-Nebraska game like tomorrow, so Dean can come up here and we can wrap. That was a lot of fun. Dean Blevins, longtime host of the Bob Stoops Show, now the Lincoln Riley Show, Sports Animal, News 9. And thanks, Bill Snyder, for everything. But the big money people in the Little Apple say it's time to go and your boy can't do it. Poor Buki. He'll get better. He'll be all right. Brandon Vogel's on the way. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Just got an email from Kent, chris@hailvarsity.com. We were talking about Urban Meyer, and if this is the prelude to the end before one last rodeo. And I maintain that wow, that Urban has walked into some incredible situations. And Kent's good listener, smart football guy, is like, really? He walked into a loaded Florida? Absolutely. Ron Zook recruited his backside off at Illinois, and he did so at Florida before landing at Illinois, and the best he could do was 8-5. Urban inherited some incredible teams. Dan, you know this. I mean, Zucker could never, like, win. But, man, he sent a lot of – any guy can go to the Sugar Bowl and Rose Bowl with Illinois, for God's sake. Whatever. Why am I talking, Ron?
Rashard Mendenhall, baby.
Yes, Mendenhall. We bring in Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, do I need a drug test here, or am I fair to say that Urban's walked into better situations than most? And this is the cherry on top with lots of wonderful vodka or bourbon when you walk into whatever trestle left you, okay?
No, I mean, that's about as good as it gets. The trestle firing was certainly a unique set of circumstances. And, you know, you mentioned Ron Zook at Illinois. You look back to what he did. I think he was there maybe six seasons, maybe not even that many. But taking them to a Rose Bowl and then two other bowl games, mm-hmm, in addition to that, you wonder what Illinois was thinking in firing him, or at least I do. So it's a classic case of kind of know where your program standing's at and be happy with somebody who's doing pretty well.
No, absolutely. And we just had Dean Blevins on, and it was pretty sobering just how screwed the program was under Mike Stoops. he just didn't hold back, and how welcome to Division I college football it's been for Buki, and he thinks OU's just going to go out and get a rock star defensive coordinator. That's where he's at with it, and they have to, because it's been incredibly tough, and he loves what Nebraska's doing. I want to get your take here on Nebraska. And we got Joel Makovic coming up, but I want to get your ballpark on 2018. I know we talked last Saturday, and we'll talk again tomorrow, but kind of mix in a little bit of what you wrote about with the hot reads, and just, dare I say, how much fun the West is going to be. Nebraska's going to be good, but the West is going to be fun. I mean, that sounds pretty cool to say, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, Jeff Brohm coming back to Purdue is a huge deal for Purdue, and I think it's a big deal for the rest of the Big Ten, because, you know, as long as he's there, and let's not make, like, he has made Purdue a factor, mm-hmm, which is a huge step. I think he's 13-12 through two seasons, but, you know, Purdue, to go back to Illinois, was probably even below the Illini on the pecking order for most of the time that Nebraska's been in the Big Ten. They were the Baylor in this situation, the game where you just wrote that in, like, however good Nebraska is going to be, they'll beat Purdue. And I mean, things were never that dire for Nebraska, but he's brought them a long way in two seasons, and I think he'll continue to get better. His 2019 recruiting class is in the top 25 right now. No, they have 24 commits, so it'll probably come down a little bit from that as other teams catch up, but it's a huge deal. I mean, you look at however long Ferentz is in Iowa's going to be what Iowa has been. Wisconsin, I think you can almost say the same thing. Like, this year is a little bit interesting in that regard, but you got to give them the benefit of the doubt, no matter who the coach is. And then Nebraska and Purdue are probably the two ascendant programs in there. And you've also got Northwestern, mm-hmm, who's going to be what Northwestern has been under Pat Fitzgerald. All of a sudden, you've got a pretty strong division.
You got a really, really strong division that, I mean, it's always been the worst division next to whichever part of the Pac-12 has been sucking, right? Or how weak the SEC East had been, but it's kind of resurrecting a bit. What's your read on Ohio State? What's your read on Penn State? Let's go across the aisle. What's your read on Michigan State? I mean, are they, yeah, speed bumping, or are they downward trending?
Ohio State's probably the biggest question mark there for me. You look back at their long-term history, they've done a remarkably consistent job of replacing coaches. So whether Meyer comes back or not, and I mean, it's not like you just write that off as an insignificant detail in this whole story. I mean, it's a big deal, but of any program out there trying to replace somebody of Meyer's stature, Ohio State probably has the best track record of doing it. So factor that in. I don't know if he's staying or going. I'm actually, you know, not that one game makes a difference, but I'm really interested in how tomorrow goes. You know, if they kind of put the screws to Northwestern and it looks like they should look and they make a real case for themselves to be in the playoff, Meyer's probably back, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, was not the way I felt things were trending 4 or 5 weeks ago when Nebraska played Ohio State.
So you thought he might be done after the Big Ten title game, or you thought he might be done after, say, Michigan wins last Saturday?
Yeah, particularly if Ohio State hadn't made it, you know. But with not just beating Michigan, but the way that they did, kind of made them Ohio State again a little bit after a year that made them look at least – they didn't fall very far. They're still a one-loss team, but they were shaky in spots, you know. Penn State's the most interesting one because I kind of put D'Antonio and Michigan State in the – Iowa column in that.
Good call.
Yeah, they're gonna be what they're gonna be, and they're gonna be a tough team to beat, and they do what they do well. And as long as D'Antonio's there, that's probably gonna stay the case. Penn State's interesting. You know, they had Trace McSorley, still made second team All Big Ten, probably largely due to reputation, but the offense fell off to an alarming degree, I think, without Joe Moorhead. So what do you do there? They're recruiting well. You know, they're still a really good team this year, but I think that alarms you a little bit as you turn the page to 2019 and they have to replace a quarterback.
Vogues, I got about 30 seconds left. You did a book. You did the biography, Dream Like a Champion, John Cook. You're going to be all over Nebraska volleyball, Jacob Padilla, Hail Varsity's coverage. Your thoughts as Nebraska moves forward in the postseason, what's the ceiling? Can they win it again?
Win it would be a surprise, though it was a surprise last year when they did it. So at this point, I'm not counting out Nebraska volleyball in any sort of tournament setting. You know, they got better over the last month. Every game where, you know, it's not that much different than having Adrian Martinez as your quarterback with a true freshman center in Nicklin Haynes. She's gotten better game to game. Like, get them in the tournament. They can play defense. If their passing's good enough, they can go pretty deep.
Vogues, have a great weekend. We'll talk tomorrow morning, brother.
Sounds great.
All right, there he is. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. We just kind of went around the Big Ten there. That was fun. Good hour. Dean Blevins, incredible. Danny Burke will have that Friday forecast coming up. Hour two shortly. Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
You're going to want to get the podcast locked in. Get to iTunes. Find your way to ESPNLincoln.com. Podcast, the On Demand, will be there for you. Dean Blevins was incredible. Brandon Vogel, phenomenal. We have a fullback sighting. Joe Makavica will get us going here in one, in hour two, but in about 10 minutes. Also, we'll hear from the Pride of Fairbury at NBC Sports, Bill Dolman. So Bill Moose spent time talking with 24/7 Sports and the Journal Star and was very complimentary of Coach Frost, had steadfast faith. Things took a little while, and that was okay. You feel great about the direction of the program, and he knew once things got settled, it would pop. You feel good about where Nebraska's at. Bill Moose is a happy guy, and Bill the Moose is good stuff. So my question here is about the tickets. I think Sammy McEwen wrote about this, was when it came to scanned tickets. You have paid attendance that keeps the sellout streak alive, and then scanned tickets and the insinuation about the student section. And the student section did a great job of sticking through when things were over, right? But when it got cold, dude, it was ghost town. And I'm not judging you. I sit I sit inside out of the elements because I'm a wuss. There, I said it. My dear old father and Uncle Dino that hit every single game this year with him and his Heisenberg meth RV. He didn't do meth out of it, but it looked like the Heisenberg RV. He went everywhere because he's so excited about year one in Frost. Uncle Dino did. They said out at halftime. My father, who sat through every Oklahoma game, good, bad, ugly, weather, score, whatever. And they couldn't take a second half of the Sparty game with snow. They were eating hot wings and drinking beer, which is cool. They have put money, sweat, blood, tears, travel, hotel, Jack Daniel. I mean, you take all of what travels with you to a Nebraska game or a bowl or Norman for 50 years of their life. And they said, I'm out. I'm going to go eat wings on O Street and drink beer. I never thought I'd see the day. But I can't be pissed at the students. You can't be. If it's 12 degrees and it's snowing. I don't know, Danny. You tell me, man. Is the student section, which you're not that far removed from, you've probably attended still as a graduate?
I have not, actually.
Really? That's right. We have you freaking chained to the studio. When I'm working, you're working.
But I've always been a guy, like, I would rather sit down and watch, because I can't, like, I'm going to say, like, I can't stand the idea of standing a whole game. Like, if I would go to the game if I could sit down and watch it. I don't want to be in the student section standing
when
the whole time.
When did this soft... You're a Chicago kid, brother. You roll your sleeves up. You put your cigarette out on your tongue.
That doesn't mean I don't have a bad back and knees, though, man.
I guess. We'll leave out how the neck, the back and the knees are bad.
Yeah.
Intramurals, right?
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. He's squatting back in the day, man. Football lifting. It'll get you.
That's so good.
But you can't turn down beer and wings on O Street either, though.
You can't turn down wings and beer ever. But bottom line is the students need to be in attendance. Here comes Joel Makovic on the trap next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with the Hall of Famer. We say hi to Joel Makovica, fullback extraordinaire for Nebraska. Joel, what's good, man? It's you blinking football season's over. How are you?
I know. It's been crazy. It went fast. But, Schmitty, I'm doing good. Haven't been on for a while, so it'll be fun. But, yeah, can't believe the football season's over. They're hot on the recruiting trail right now. I mean, it would have been great if we could have made a bowl game and got another month of practice, but they'll make up for that in recruiting and being out on the road.
I think so. Let's start there, and you don't have to get specific, but just overall, I mean, you've seen where Coach Frost and his staff have been this week between West Coast, SEC country, Louisiana. They're hosting some kids this weekend. What's the buzz you're hearing and feeling about Frost and his staff right now, and how do you think it's resonating not only in football hotbeds but also within the tough blue-collar state in Nebraska?
Well, yeah, the good thing about Coach Frost and his staff and maybe that you haven't seen with the last couple sessions, they're not afraid to recruit anywhere, and they'll go to any place and recruit anywhere and try and get the talent that they think would fit their system. And that's what's great about this staff is I think, you know, the big buzz out there is how they can create the relationships with these players, and these players are buying in, you know, on the recruiting trail, that they're buying in that these coaches care about them. And, you know, kind of like, and I always hate to, but this is what I compare to, kind of when I was at Nebraska, that we knew the whole coaching staff cared about us, and we wanted to play for people like that. And I think that's, you know, what they're developing and how they're developing relationships with kids. So You know, there has been a great buzz out there. I think if you look at all the recruiting services, they're, you know, top 25 mm-hmm. already, and I think Rivals has them top 20, or I know that doesn't mean a lot, but I think these guys can identify the talent they want and can go out and get some of those guys. I would like to see, you know, them trying to get a big-time defensive lineman. I mean, I think that's what Nebraska needs right now is a couple big-time defensive linemen. They have quite a few O-linemen commit. So I think that's one of the things they're really focusing on hard is to get some guys in the trenches.
Joel Makovic is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Makovic of Physical Therapy, Hall of Fame fullback, multiple-time national champion, and world-renowned golfer. Joel, I got to ask you, With the evaluation side of things, I think that's where Nebraska is going to be so good for so long with Frost and his guys. Not only seeing a guy like Adrian Martinez that wasn't number one, right? He wasn't the number one dual threat quarterback. He was mm-hmm. top seven, but Scott was like, "I love what this kid can do. We can project what he can become, and then coach him up. The ability to identify and then develop. I mean, that 1-2 punch hasn't been at Nebraska for a long time. People plow on Callahan, and rightfully so in a lot of circles, but that guy did a good job of bringing some talent in. Bo did a good job of getting that talent out of the kids. Nebraska's going to have a chance to get identification right and then get the development spot on.
There's no question. I think you hit it right on the head. Is there's coaches out there that can identify talent, and there's coaches out there that can coach up the talent and get the talent to progress and reach their ceilings. And I think, you know, Nebraska's got some guys now that can do both, and that's what you want to see. And that goes back to even our strength and conditioning program, getting the right guy in here to develop these kids as they come in as freshmen. And so I think you're absolutely right. And I think you can even see, you know, some of the ways, you know, from the head coach, Scott, to his assistants, how they look at and identify talent. And yes, they're going to go after, you know, what everybody thinks are the top recruits in the country, but they're also identifying kids that they believe can fit their system. You know, they don't talk a lot about stars, and they want to find guys that love to play football and can fit their system and have high ceilings that they believe can come in. And maybe they're off the radar of some of these other schools, but you know, you have to have guys like that. You're not always going to get, you know, the 4 and 5 star that are surefire NFL talent. You got to find some of these guys and shake the trees a little bit to find some of these guys that are maybe off the radar of some of these people that you bring in and you've recognized their talent and can project into your system. Get them in, let them develop, and our strength and conditioning staff, our nutrition program, and after 2 or 3 years can turn into those elite players that we need. And I think they're going to do a great job of that, and you'll see that. And it's a process. And that's kind of, you know, when I talk to people, that's the beautiful thing that's going on with Nebraska football right now. You look at some places that got new coaches around the country, and I take Florida State, for example, and I like Willie Taggart, and I think he's built some programs that he's been in before, but it just seems like when you look at Florida State, was there a process there? Was there a structure in place? Did you feel like he's got a plan to take this program back to the elite level? And I didn't feel like that, and I think, you know, the staff we have now at Nebraska, I feel like, hey, there's a plan in place. There's structure and there's a process that you feel like it's building towards something. And that's what's exciting about Nebraska football right now.
Joel, what's your main takeaway from the 2018 season? Started out 0-6, finished 4-2, 4-8 overall. Nebraska got better, but got pushed around still. Mm-hmm. As a Hall of Fame guy, how do you ballpark it?
You know, that's a great question. I was at practice before the Iowa game, and we were talking about that. And I think you break it down into, and it's could be simplification, but you break it down into two seasons. And there was no question that the first part of the season was brutal. And it was brutal on the staff, and it was brutal on the fans, and brutal on the players to go 0-6. And I think, you know, that kind of start, it does a few things. And let's say we would have went out and beat a Colorado and beat a Troy and maybe started 4-2. Maybe there's some guys that would have remained on the team that aren't 100% bought into changing the culture and love to play football for Nebraska. And when you start 0-6, you kind of lean the herd out there where you saw a lot of guys jumping off ship and they said, we're getting out of here. And I don't think you can have those guys around, especially early on when you're trying to create a culture change. And so, you know what, in hindsight, it might've been a blessing to go 0-6 and get some of those guys out of here. And I think the second part of the year, you had guys that had bought in and guys that are really buying into what those guys are trying to establish at Nebraska, from, like I said, from the strength and conditioning staff to the coaching staff. And then you go 4-2 down the stretch. So now you can build off that in recruiting and say, listen, this is what we needed to do to come in, and we knew it wasn't going to be easy, and it started rough, there's no question about it, and we never want to be 0-6. But then you sell the recruits on, look at how we're building. We went 4-2 down the stretch with losing to Ohio State by 5 points in their house, and coming off an Iowa game that we're still a year or two away from physically being able to match up with them, and we took them to the wire. And so you could say, you know, one game falls here and there, you're 5-1 down the stretch. So I think that's huge for Nebraska to build off of and the confidence going into next year. But listen, it's still a ways away because, like I said, we have to have these guys in our strength and conditioning program and in this type of coaching for 2 or 3 years to start seeing where we're going to be going in the next 5 or 6 years.
Joel Makovica with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Hall of Fame fullback, kind of recapping, putting a bow on the 2018 football season. What's your take on the defense? And I know you like lighting up linebackers and clearing the way for Amon and company. I need to ask you how you guys did it. And you ran the option, you ran a ground and pound offense where you could throw, but it was off of play action. You were going to run the football 50 times if you could. Your defense back then had great players, but your defense could stop 3 wide, 1 back, shotgun 4 wide, and it could also shut anyone's run game down. Usually the offense mirrors the defense and vice versa. How does Nebraska get there so they're able to stop Wisconsin and Iowa, handle Ohio State, and then if push comes to shove, they see somebody like Tua in Alabama someday where they're throwing it around? How do they get physical on defense when I'm not saying the offense isn't physical, but it's more wide open?
Oh, yeah. And you know, when we were there, it was a little different because, you know, we ran the ball downhill at our defense. So when we practiced against them, you know, iron sharpens iron, to where when a physical offense like we had practiced against a defense, they have to get physical or we're going to eat them up every day in practice. And so that really helped our defense. But there's a lot of factors that go into how, you know, we want to build our defense. And one of those, like we touched on earlier, is strength and conditioning program. I mean, these guys have to continue to work in the weight room and have this strength and conditioning that I don't believe we've had in the last 10 to 15 years that we're starting to establish there. And you've seen tweets from Zach Duvall, and you've seen how these guys are going about their business, whether it's getting back to squatting, things like that, and building some lean muscle and building some of those athletes that can play against Ohio State in the trenches, because it starts with the offensive defensive line. So playing against the Iowas and the Ohio States and the Michigan, strength and conditioning will be a huge factor in that. And I think there's quite a few pieces that we can build around on our defense. You know, you have Muhammad Berry that played pretty well at linebacker that's returning. You have a Carlos Davis. You have a Ben Stille. But the biggest thing is, now you have some of those pieces you can build around, and even into the secondary with DeCaprio Boodle and Lamar Jackson, if they all come back, you have some pieces to build around. But now what you need to get to is getting enough guys in there that somebody can come in and push a Muhammad Berry, and there's competition at every position. And that's the way guys get better. And that's what this staff wants to do is, you know, talking to them in the spring is getting guys in here that are backups, that are first-year players that are third and fourth on the depth chart, to be able to push these guys day in and day out and it be competitive every day in practice. And that's what they're going to look to do, is to get these guys in here that can push these guys that are already some good pieces in place on the defensive side of the ball. And you can see that on the offensive side as well.
Joel, the four best teams in college football are who? I know the first two.
Smitty, I'm telling you, man, Alabama is pretty darn solid. And
sure,
I don't know,
sure.
You know what anybody's going to do to them. And again, this goes back to Saban's a good coach. But, you know, when we played him at Michigan State, when I was at Nebraska, we dominated them. I think it was like 55-10. And if you ever read his book, Saban patterned his Alabama teams around what Nebraska did to him in the 90s. And that's a lesson for everybody to say, hey, and it was funny because I watched the LSU-Alabama game a couple of years ago, went out to Alabama, and it was amazing how they looked like we did coming off the bus, getting into the stadium, the way they warmed up, the way everything they did. It just reminded me, it was really similar to what we did. But you have, they're the cream of the crop, and then you obviously have Clemson. And I would have to say, gosh, I think Georgia's a good football team. I would put Notre Dame's got to be in there because they're undefeated. But if you're looking to me at an Ohio State and an Oklahoma, I'm not really sold on Oklahoma's defense. I mean, their offense is legit, but I just don't think if you put them up against a team like an Alabama or a Clemson that they would be able to stop them on offense. And you look at an Ohio State, and I don't like how they got beat up by Purdue, but the way they handled Michigan was pretty impressive. And I think Ohio State's one of those teams where they've recruited so well over the last 5 and 6 years, kind of up there with Alabama. They have the talent. Was it something when they played a Purdue or they played a Maryland and almost got beat by Maryland? Are they bored, until
sure.
they get to the big games and then really have to turn it on? So, I don't like that they got fist pounded by Purdue, but if you're looking at top four, talent-wise, I think you would have to put Ohio State in there. Now, they could be one of these teams that they make it to the playoff and they have this attitude and psyche that they can't get it done because they got beat pretty bad by Clemson a few years ago. But, it's difficult. I'd have to put Ohio State as number four. Notre Dame's going to be in, so it kind of comes down to number four.
Last thought, can you ever imagine T.O. losing his mind at a press conference like Saban does?
Not a chance. But you know what? Saban's one of those guys like Bill Belichick that he is just, I mean, for lack of a better term, he is an a-hole. And that's what you get with him. But you know it. And listen, his shtick wouldn't work just like Bill Belichick's wouldn't work if they weren't winning.
Right.
And now that they win, his shtick works, and he does a great job with that. But, yeah, he's a guy that, I don't know if I would want to play for him just because I like playing for guys that I know, they really care about me and care about the other players on our team. And I don't know if Saban really does that. I mean, there's stories about him in Miami, and that's a lot of the reasons why it didn't work in the NFL is because the way he treated players, it's hard to do that in the NFL because they're grown men and they don't put up with that. But when you're 18 and 19, sometimes you do put up with that. But, I could never see Coach Osborne doing that. That's why I think people played so hard for Coach Osborne, and you see this a lot in Coach Frost. You see his demeanor on the sideline. Looks like he genuinely cares for all the players, and that's what's exciting.
Joel, good to get caught up with you, man. We'll do this again soon. Have a great weekend.
All right, brother.
Gotta love the fullback, Joel Makovicka. We'll get the Pride of Fairbury. NBC Sports is Bill Dolman, some Husker hoops, some thoughts on Bill Snyder. If he's on his way out, great stuff from Joel Makovicka on Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
It's always nice to get caught up. Say hi to Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury. Went a little long with Joel Makovicka, so we had to reshuffle a bit, and he is very kind and gracious to move his time. Bill Dolman with us at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Going to watch him on NBC Sports, and he is the Pride of Fairbury. Billy D, how we doing?
Well, after walking through the wet and rainy streets of Stamford, Connecticut, to find a good taco bar, we're happy right now. But we're situated now, so go ahead.
No, that's fine. Tell you the taco bar in Connecticut. What are you doing?
I don't know. We're about to find out.
Well,
if you're talking Connecticut and tacos, can you go wrong?
You know, when I think of Connecticut, I think of, well, I think of Samford. I think of the tax bracket that that world is in.
That's exactly why I'm here, because the NBC Sports headquarters, the mothership, if you will, bought out an old Clairol shampoo factory about 5 years ago and created the home of the basically the home of the Olympics. I mean, that facility has been built out. It's the same studios with Football Night in America, the NASCAR show, Premier League, all of that is in this headquarters. So, and of course, all the Olympics happen there too. So, it's an unbelievable place.
That's pretty awesome, Bill. What's your we talked about this earlier in the week. I want to get your take because we didn't talk. We talked Wednesday. The Iowa game has happened. Give me a grade for Nebraska football and Coach Frost in year one.
That's really good. You know, I think it's a solid B.
Okay.
And there's some, and I think it's, as we got toward finals week, I think the grades get better just because of the feel good vibe, even though there was the loss at the end of the season to those guys. I really think that all in all, at 4-8 or whatever it was, 5-7, I don't even remember, the journey is headed in the right direction. And I don't think that there's any way that you can really feel bad about the way the season went, because there are just so many signs pointing to positive. And, you know, in terms of Scott, you know, I think he really piloted the ship very well. You know, he's got great mentorship behind him,
mm-hmm.
And around him, great understanding of the culture. You know, it's tough to give a total A because, you know, I think there was some issues with the end of the Northwestern game where the play calling could have been a little bit different, and that would have been one more win, and you're looking at a bold possibility. But all in all, we're reestablishing the culture and the feel-good vibe that really is surrounding that program right now. And everybody's seen the picture of Stanley Morgan coming off the field at Iowa with tears in his eyes. You know, it has to mean something to play football for Nebraska. And I saw another, you know, somebody said, you play football for Nebraska, you don't play at Nebraska. And I've said before, you don't go there to get something, you go there to be a part of something and to give something, and you get so much more when that happens. And I think those guys who stuck through it at the end of the year, the emotion, the comments you heard from, you know, guys like Gifford and Farmer and whatnot, just there's just so much to feel good about. So I give it a reluctant B with everything headed in the plus direction.
Bill Dolman, NBC Sports. He is at a taco bar in Connecticut joining us. Hail Varsity Radio at Bill Dolman on Twitter. And you'll be able to watch some of his Olympic coverage this weekend. Curling, and what are you doing this weekend?
This season, I've got a full season of cross-country skiing and biathlon with the great Chad Salmela, who made, I do not mean this to overstate it, his call with Steve Schlanger in the Olympic Games with Jesse Diggins and Keegan Randall winning the gold medal in the team sprint is as close to "Do You Believe in Miracles" as you will hear in a call of an Olympics. And it's really fun to be a part of sports where what you do really matters to the sports and the athletes that you cover. So that's one of the great things about the Olympics. Anybody can call football, anybody can call basketball, but, you know, these sports really matter to those people, and that's fun to be a part of.
Bill, Nebraska basketball, a monster win at Clemson after getting dismantled a bit by Texas Tech. The stretch continues as conference play starts going on. What have you noticed, and what's your takeaway with Nebraska? I was surprised they bounced back and won against Clemson. give them a ton of credit. I think this is a fun team. I think Copeland's kind of emerging as your leader. And it's just going to be a bit choppy, as in you've got back-to-back Big Ten games, and then Creighton rolls into town. Has the feel shifted a bit on Nebraska with that bounce-back win against Clemson?
Well, there's no question that they've gotten a boost because Texas Tech has been noticed and is in the top 25. The victory over Clemson, national television, a part of the marquee Big Ten ACC challenge to get that victory, that was significant. So the loss to Texas Tech, despite Nebraska did not look good in that game. And I know Palmer got in foul trouble, and I don't think justifiably so. That was not a great performance. That looked too much like Nebraska bowl. But Texas Tech's emergence softens that. They battled, and they fought, and they won a game on the road that they should have won. I'm not going to say that was an upset. Nebraska should have won that game. They made it much closer than it should have been. I feel like sometime I'm a distant cousin to the Willamettes because the high wire act Nebraska basketball puts us on can sometimes be unnerving, but they won it. That's the bottom line. They won that game. It's a team that I think is a top 25 team. But I've said it before, I'll say it again. If they're going to shoot threes and they're going to cast them up, they have to make high 30s and kissing 40s if they're going to win. The Big Ten is very good this year. There's only one team that has a losing record at this point. It happens to be the team they open up against. They cannot look past that game. They've got to win on the road at Minnesota and start off 2-0. If they go 1-1 or 0-2, then Nebraska's a program that can see goodwill go away quickly. It would really behoove them to start conference play. And I know it's tough, 4-0 or 5-0, and then win 10 games. I think Nebraska, with that win at Clemson, is definitely in the field in everybody's mind. We've got a long way to go. We're not even to January. But you got to start conference play strong. You might have a little fade, and then you've got to finish strong. And I think Nebraska still has to win a game or two when it comes to tournament time just to solidify itself and not get a stupid seed. My fear is that team's going to be an 8 or a 9. If they launch threes and eke by, they're going to be an 8 or a 9, or they're going to be in that stupid 5-12 game, and they're going to play Xavier like we did in, what was it, 86?
91, and it was Tyrone Hill.
Right. So I still think, you know, Nebraska is in a precarious position just because we see too many lapses back into the days of old. But they've got two guys that are legitimate NBA players, I believe, far away than Petaway or some of those other guys. And Allen is critical at that guard position. Watson can't go 2-for-11 in games. But everything is there for this to be arguably the best team in Nebraska history simply by winning a game in the tournament. Are they as good as the team that won the NIT in 96? I'm not there yet. That was a really, really good basketball team.
Yeah.
But Nebraska's got the potential to do something that no team in Husker history has ever done. They've got to get dominant and get a nasty, foot on the throat kind of attitude.
Someday I'm going to get Strickland and Markowski a beer. I'm going to find out about this mutiny. from 96. Bill, there's a good chance Bill Snyder is going to be told to pack his office, not fired, but told that your kid isn't getting the job and we're going in a different direction. It's time to retire. Your reaction if that happens? Also, your reaction that Urban Meyer said no comment that 2019 would be his last. That's been reported by Football Scoop. What's your overall view on Urban Meyer? Yes, he's a good coach, but is he great or did he inherit? I want your take on that and your take on if Bill Snyder has to go out this way with the big money people telling him it's time to go home.
Urban Meyer first. I think he is a great coach, but I'm not sure that the character matches the coaching ability. There's just too many questions anymore. And you look back at the trail from Bowling Green to Utah to Florida to now, I'm not sure that you're going to, I'm not sure that he leaves places better than he inherited necessarily. and they must really be in love with Ryan Day. Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize that he was as important to them as he appears to be, but they've apparently set that guy up for life. And Bill Snyder, I think now that those people around the program who have the purse strings, you've got a different AD, it's a different culture in many regards. I think that they're probably in much better position now to say it's time to go, as opposed to when he retired the first time or earlier in this second tenure. I think if they tell him to go, you're going to have a small faction of people say this is not right, but the larger vast majority of people are going to say, yeah, it hurts, but it's got to be done. Where do they go? I don't think they're going to get Brent Venables. If you turn down Texas Tech and all that money, that's a better job than K-State. I don't care. It's not Scott Frost going back to Nebraska. You got your kid playing at Clemson. I don't think he's going to take that gig. You know, I look for somebody, and why is everybody just so enamored with Jim Leavitt? I guess he's getting like four jobs this year.
Right.
But he's going to coach Colorado and Kansas State both, and may still keep his job at Oregon. I don't know. But I don't know where people are so enamored with that guy. I like the Seth Littrell, the guy at North Texas. I think that's a pretty good fit for Kansas State. He's an Oklahoma guy, Big 12 ties, Big 8 ties. I think that's probably a good direction. But I think they've got to go with a young guy who's hungry. You're not going to get an established coach to go to Manhattan, Kansas. Same thing with Colorado. That's just not going to happen. You're going to get an up-and-comer like a Derek Mason at Vanderbilt or somebody who's been around a while like Jim Leavitt to take either one of those gigs.
Bill Dolman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio.
And Billy, those alums and those people who think that their program is better than it is, they're just going to have to accept it.
Yeah.
You know, and I go back to a year ago, and I said this, I believe it even more, that Scott Frost is the most prominent hire in college football in at least the last 10 years. And there is no scenario like that right now in college football. That's how significant it was for Nebraska at that moment in time to get that guy with that program and the direction it's going to go. There's nothing like that right now, and I don't see it in the foreseeable future.
Bill Dolman in Connecticut at a Taco Bar talking college football. Bill, we'll run you down next week, brother. Thanks for the time today.
All right, Cross Country Biathlon all weekend long on the networks of NBC.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Line through. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Bill Dolman from a taco bar in Connecticut. Where was he in Connecticut? I said Greenwich, Connecticut's like the David Letterman.
Stanford,
number.
Right?
Stanford, yes. Let's say hi to our dear friend, who I hope had a great Thanksgiving, Clausburn, and part of the Friday forecast. Claus, how you doing, bud?
Well, I'm doing okay. I'm very happy for the city of Stamford, Connecticut, to have Bill Dolman inside of it. Hasn't had that much excitement since Jim Halpert left Scranton, so good for them.
Clausburn, are you ready to fire up the old Friday forecast?
Well, I suppose I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Let's do this thing here. Danny, are we betting a steak and a beer this time since you owe me each?
Yeah, I guess so. And so I was looking at the official standings. I think I'm still in the lead because I don't know what happened the week I was gone in Vegas.
I won out.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Clausburn, I think I'm still ahead by one.
Clausburn, you'll back me on that. I went undefeated, didn't I?
Really?
I haven't checked the mailbox yet today, but I'll go ahead and assume the check is there. So, yes, I think that's what happened.
Right.
Okay, well, with that being said, I think I'm ahead by one. So, big weekend for you,
buddy. Big weekend. Okay, let's start off tonight. Washington and Utah kickoff. I wanted this so badly to be the Pirate and Washington State. I was hoping to see Mike Leach do commentary on the Rose Bowl parade before he went and coached in a Rose Bowl. Washington's minus 5.5. Washington's just too good. They have too much NFL talent. They underachieved this year. I can see the one loss, but it was tied against Auburn. The loss to Cal was a one-point game. The winning run got walked home 13-12. They misstepped. If they had it to do over again, they wouldn't. They're probably a 10-2 squad. Give me the Huskies tonight, 31 and Utah, 27. Give me the win by Washington, but the cover by Utah. Danny.
Okay, see, I thought you were going to have the cover by Washington the way you're speaking, but yeah, let me give you a little information here. The Utes are 6-2 against the spread. Washington 1-6 against the spread. Utah, obviously, they're missing their star running back and quarterback from a few weeks ago, but they've been finding ways to win. This game opened as 3.5-point favorites for Washington, then moved to 5.5, and Washington is 5-1 straight up against Utah. I do think the Huskies get it done. I agree with you, but Utah will get the cover, so I'm saying Washington wins 24-20 with Utah covering.
Klausberg, what do you like here? Do you like the Utes? Do you like the Huskies?
Well, at my age, it's pretty rare that you're actually awake for a Pac-12 game kickoff, so I'm pretty excited about that. I'm also pretty excited to find out that Utah didn't get their mascot from a Joe Pesci movie. But the problem is, I don't know a whole lot about Washington or Utah. They seem about as exciting as the color beige taking on a piece of Wonder Bread, so I'll go ahead and take Washington in this one, 28, and the Utes, 24.
All right, let's go to Oklahoma, Texas, down in Jerry World. Talk to Dean Blevins. He thinks OU finds a way. Kyler Murray finds a way to score a few more points. Man, listen, I think the revenge factor is real. Seeing Oklahoma, Texas the second time will be pretty incredible. And I like Oklahoma to get it handled this time. And it's going to be another shootout. Give me OU 41-38. They win. They do not cover. Old Coach Switzer sent a picture out of him doing the horns down this morning. And that's my sign. That's my omen. The win for OU, but the cover for Texas. Denny.
Yeah, going to have to agree with you once again. Texas 6-0 against the spread against Oklahoma. And get this, Tom Herman is 13-2 against the spread when he is an underdog. Okay, cool, hook 'em, let's ride. Oklahoma will not lose to the same team twice, though. So Oklahoma will win, and Texas will barely cover. It will be a touchdown game. Oklahoma wins 48-41.
Coach Brett weighs in that all of our picks suck so far.
Saw that coming.
That was nice of him. Klausberg, what do you think here, OU or Texas?
Well, first of all, I hope Cowboys fans understand that this is the only time Lincoln Riley's going to be coaching in that stadium in the next few years. They all seem to think that, well, maybe he'll take the Cowboy job. Yeah, well, maybe Kate Upton will be at Danny's door this evening wanting to have a sleepover, but it's not very likely. I seem to remember another young, very good coach in his second year, about 20 years ago, who lost to Texas in the regular season and then beat him in the Big 12 championship game, a guy by the name of Frank Solich. So I like the odds of that happening again. I'll take my good friends at Oklahoma, 52, and Texas, 42.
10-point win and cover, says Claus. Bama, Georgia, minus 13.5, tied. This thing's been a storybook year for Bama. Their defense has come along. Their offense is insane. Their lines of scrimmage dominant. Georgia is very good. Are they good enough to cover? I don't think so. Give me Bama 27. Give me Georgia 10. I know Georgia's good.
Low-scoring game.
And I look at the offense that LSU put up on Georgia, and I look at the point total that LSU held Georgia to, so that's where I'm going with that. And I think Bama wins and covers. Danny.
Yeah, see, that's a scary thing with me, that LSU game. I do think this game will probably hit the under, although Georgia 4-1 against the spread, Bama 5-1, Bama 4-0 straight up against Georgia in the last four. I just feel like Alabama plays in these conference championship games, it's always pretty close, you know what I mean? It's not necessarily as big of a blowout, disregarding the Clemson game in the playoff last year. With that being said, I'm a root for the Bulldogs and pick the Bulldogs to win. 13.5 they'll cover, but Bama will win 35-24.
Okay. Klaus, what do you say here, Bama or Georgia?
Well, I think it's fairly obvious the playoff committee and ESPN would both like to have Georgia win this game so they can both get in the playoff. I mean, they love the SEC so much, Starbucks is considering banning the SEC network like they're banning all the other naughty sites. So I'm really hoping that doesn't happen. I think Bama
in 2018 is the best team I've seen since the team that took the field in 1995. And I think they win this one going away, 35-14.
Ohio State, Northwestern. I think Ohio State is going to win and going to cover. It'll be tight, 31-13, something like that. And I just think Ohio State's too talented, too much four-star, five-star. And maybe they'll play for Urban a second week in a row. I don't know, but give me the win by Ohio State in the cover, Danny.
Yeah, Ohio State 5-1 against the spread playing Northwestern. Ohio State's going to have a dominating game to maybe be considered for this playoff if that's going to help them in any way. So I feel like they're going to blow them out, especially because it's Northwestern's first time in the conference championship in a dome. I like Ohio State winning 38-20, covering and winning.
Claus, what do you got?
Well, I think it's going to be a really good day for Urban Meyer. I think his team is going to win. And maybe some of the future doctors on the other sideline could come up with a vaccine for his chronic I'm in deep crapitis. So I'm going to take Ohio State to win this one, 31, and Northwestern 17.
Glasper, you're the best. We'll do a naughty or nice list next week as we get ready for the holiday season. That sound okay?
Okay.
Take care, Claus. There he goes. Claus burn off into the night. We'll wind down a Friday next on Hail Varsity.
Now live from the ESPN Lincoln Studios, it's Hail Varsity.
I know what that means.
With Chris Mann and Danny Burke.
One final time, the podcast is going to be something you want to take with you tomorrow or into the weekend. iTunes or HailVarsity.com. Get to ESPN Lincoln. The app will give you a chance to download all the great breaking sports news and stream the local shows we have on ESPN Lincoln. And yes, breaking news, but can also your chance to win $2,500 with the sign up for the ESPN Lincoln app contest that's going on. That's good stuff. The in-demand Danny's been working on, so you don't want to miss Dean Blevins on Nebraska, on Oklahoma, on Bill Snyder. Phenomenal. You don't want to miss Brandon Vogel on Nebraska. You don't want to miss Joel Makovica today on the Big Red. The recruiting that's going on, the development, strength training, where he thinks the program's at, how happy he is. And good stuff from Bill Dolman in a taco bar in Connecticut.
Yeah, he sounded like he was having a good time.
Good for Bill, man. He is phenomenal at what he does. So happy that he's killing it at NBC Sports. So we'll be back tomorrow morning, the weekend edition. Myself, Mark Kranak, will get you ready. Plenty of Nebraska basketball to talk, lots of football to recap. We didn't even have time. We spent time on Bill Snyder. We spent time on Urban Meyer. And we got into, you know, where Nebraska's at, a little bit of recruiting. Because you got some visitors coming in. A lot of recruiting yesterday as coaches were coming home today. But, yeah, today's title, To Build and Maintain. That's going to be what you look for on Hail Varsity. You got a smart speaker at home. It's real easy. Just say, we want to hear Hail Varsity or ESPN Lincoln, and they'll play it for you. Let's qualify you right now for that holiday Hail Mary. We'll take caller 8, caller 9. Right now, get a laptop from Schrock, a $100 gift card to Jet Splash, a $100 gift card to your friends at Misty's. That is phenomenal. And the coffee. You got to have coffee in the morning. Some of us need it in the afternoon. Caller 8 and 9 right now qualifies.
Hey!
Three-man rush.
What's this, lying around?
All kinds of time.
It's the season to be merry.
Depths into the throw, in the wind.
Nipply out. I mean nippy out.
Down to the goal line.
We're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny McKay.
Come on!
Ho, ho, ho.
Touchdown!
I love that. I love Sean McDonough screaming at the top of his lungs. That was BYU. But it was a great call. And we'll take caller 8 and 9. Danny, what are we doing this weekend? I know you and I have Real Red tip-off from 3 to 4 Sunday in the market area down in the rail yard before Nebraska, Illinois. I know we get to hang out Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, yay.
Besides that, man, I'm just sitting on my butt watching all the games tomorrow. Hopefully my bets come through and I'm not having a terrible Saturday. But right. These lines are just awful, so I'm not getting my hopes up.
You know, my cousin Nate called today, Nader, love him. And he's like, you know, you and all your sports talk buddies, no one ever brought up what happens if Clemson loses. I'm like, bro, Clemson won't lose. Pitt did knock him down on a field goal. I remember watching that game winner.
They played Notre Dame pretty closely this year, but not a chance they're taking down Clemson.
Now, Pitt's good. I like Narduzzi a lot, but Clemson's kind of autopilot, aren't they? They can run it. They can throw it. They can play defense. 30 points is where the numbers near.
I took the over in that game, actually.
I think so, too. All right. Danny, be good. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Weekend edition of Hail Varsity. Real Red Tip-Off Show. Come see us Sunday at 3 in the Rail Yard.